Please open in your Bibles to John chapter 10. This morning we'll be looking at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would feed us by it. Anoint our hearts and our ears by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, anoint your word as it goes forth. Feed us, cause us to grow more in love with Jesus Christ. We pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I think it's safe to say that you will not make it through this life without being disappointed by somebody, without being let down by someone. Many of you, I'm sure, have already been disappointed by someone in your life in whom you have trusted. Maybe it's a close friend, a colleague at work, a spouse, a classmate, an elder or pastor. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it's your government. One way or another, you more than likely have or at some point will be let down or disappointed by someone. And some of you might have had or even do have it worse. Perhaps there's someone who is currently taking advantage of you, someone abusing you, hurting you, not necessarily physically, but even emotionally. Our world is a broken world. The evil one does his best to do his worst to us, even through people that we should be able to trust and rely on. And the people to whom Jesus was speaking in our text are not unfamiliar with disappointment and abuse coming from those whom they should be able to trust, those whom should be caring for them. But sadly, throughout much of Israel's history, the people of Israel experienced much abuse and harm by their leaders and spiritual overseers. And last time we were together, we heard an account of that from Ezekiel 34, of how the shepherds of Israel cared nothing for the flock of God, how they neglected the flock, how they cared only for themselves and fed themselves and only cared as much for the flock as they were able to gain something from them. They took advantage of them. They abused them. And the same thing is true in Jesus' day. And yet the people in our text are presented with someone entirely different. You and I are presented with someone entirely different. We see that God gives the world, gives his people, his own son, Jesus Christ. We see God fulfilling the promise that he gave in Ezekiel 34 when he said that I will send one shepherd over them. It'll be my son David, my servant David, the greater than David, the Messiah will come and lead and feed his people. And he has come. It is Jesus himself. As we look at our text today, I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see him in light of all of the disappointments and possible abuse you have received from others. But primarily, I want you to see him ultimately in light of the disappointment that you have received from this world and from the promises of Satan in this world. See him in light of the abuse and hatred you have received from the hands of Satan. And in this light, I want to call you to follow after and love the Lord Jesus Christ, your good shepherd. Follow after and love Jesus, the good shepherd. That's the main point for you this morning. And this is the main point that Jesus wants to communicate to the people in our text. And we see that Jesus teaches this lesson to them through the use of an allegory. Look again at verses 1 through 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. In verse 6, John says that Jesus uses a figure of speech. And that word that we translate here, figure of speech, is not the word that we usually translate as parable. In fact, this word here means more along the lines of a proverb or of an illustration, and sometimes can even be used to describe an allegory. It describes a saying that symbolizes something. And that's what Jesus is doing here. In this allegory, Jesus gives us three main characters. There's the thief or robber. And later on, we'll hear about the hired hand. It's kind of part of that character as well. We also see the shepherd and we see the sheep. I recognize there's also a gatekeeper here, but he's not a main player in this allegory. He's there just to kind of round things out. And although it's clear in Christ's mind who these characters are, those who are listening to him don't yet understand who they're supposed to be. You can see that in verse 6. But it seems clear to us, however, that Jesus intends for the sheep to represent those who will believe in him, those who do believe and those who will believe. The thief or robber, that represents the current leaders and Pharisees in Israel, and ultimately Satan working behind these leaders in Israel. And the shepherd, of course, he intends as himself. And although the people don't yet understand what Jesus means by this, he is trying to teach us things through the use of this allegory. And he actually teaches us three things. And the first one is this, that the sheep belong to the shepherd. The sheep belong to the shepherd. In that culture, shepherds who had a flock of sheep would often herd them into a sheep pen or a cave at night. And the reason they would do this was to keep them safe from danger so that no one could snatch them, no animals could harm them, and so they wouldn't wander off by themselves in the middle of the night. And in many instances, these sheep pens or these pasture areas in which they were held were controlled by a gatekeeper. He would open and close the door to let the sheep in, and he would open and close the door for the shepherd when he came to get his sheep. And the gatekeeper, he knows to whom the sheep belong, which is why Jesus says that the gatekeeper opens to the shepherd and why the shepherd can confidently walk up and expect the door would be open to him. Anyone else is a thief or a robber because they don't own the sheep, which is why the gatekeeper won't open the gate to them, which is why they have to actually climb in secret around the gatekeeper to try to snatch the sheep away. Now, this might seem obvious, and it really is, but Jesus is highlighting this to show us that there was a rightful owner of the sheep, and there are those who try to get the sheep illegitimately. They don't own the sheep, but they try to snatch the sheep. They try to take the sheep away. But the sheep belong to the shepherd. The second thing Jesus teaches us by this allegory is that there is an intimacy between the shepherd and the sheep. There's an intimacy there. The shepherd knows each one of his sheep individually. He knows each one by name, and the sheep know him. So much so that they can recognize his voice whenever he calls out to them. And sometimes it was the case that multiple herds of sheep would be put into the same sheep pen. And so you'd have multiple shepherds with their sheep in one sheep pen. And these sheep weren't labeled. And maybe if you've been to a Presbytery camp or you've been to international conference and you've taken your child to the nursery, what do? You give the nursery worker your child's name. They write it on a little sticker and they slap it on the kid's back and they just toss them in, right? And they run around and they play with all the other kids. They have a label on them so they know who they are. But these sheep, they weren't labeled. Nobody put a sticker on them. But it didn't matter. The shepherd could stand outside the door and call out the names of his sheep and they would come out and they would follow him. And the same thing is true today of shepherds. If you or I were to go to a shepherd and learn the name of the sheep that he has under his care, say, for instance, one of the sheep's name is Sean. My kids love Sean the Sheep. I don't know if you kids have ever watched that. It's a great little show. But one of these sheep's name is Sean. You learn the name of the sheep. You go to the pen and you begin calling for Sean. He's not going to come to you. He's not going to come to you because you are a stranger to him. He doesn't know you. You don't really know him. And if you were to actually go into the sheep pen, the sheep would begin to walk away from you. They would begin to be very cautious of you. They would be sheepish of you. They would want to try to get away from you because they don't know who you are. They don't know your voice. They don't know your smell. They wouldn't want to come to you, but not so with the shepherd. They follow him. They know his voice. They have no fear of him because they've spent time with him. Their lives have been with them. They trust him. And so when you go to pick up your kid in the nursery, you don't really need to know the name of your kid to give it to the nursery worker, do you? All you have to do is walk up and speak your child's name and their head pops up and they know your voice and they come to you because there's an intimacy between you and your child. There's an intimacy between the shepherd and the sheep. Well, thirdly, we see that the shepherd seeks the protection and good of his sheep. The shepherd loves and cares for the sheep, so he seeks their protection and good. He keeps them safe in the pen. But he also brings them out and he finds green pastures. He isn't harsh with them. He doesn't drive them out like a cattle herder. Jesus says that he leads them out and they follow him because they know that he leads them to quiet and safe places full of luscious green grass. He leads them to cool, still waters. Unlike the thief and the robber who desires nothing but deprivation and harm, the shepherd desires flourishing and care for the sheep. The shepherd seeks the protection and good of the sheep. Jesus teaches us these basic truths through this allegory because he wants the people to clearly see that there are two positions that the sheep can be in. There are two types of people who would have control over the sheep. There are two experiences that the sheep could have in this world. And it's either with the thief or robber, or it's with the shepherd. And because the people in the text don't really understand what's going on here, Jesus goes on to explain the allegory. And in doing so, he shows the different characteristics of the thief and robber and of the shepherd himself. And first, he shows the character and nature of the thief and the hired hand. First, the thief. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus shows us the utterly malicious intent of thieves and robbers. They come to only take for themselves. They care nothing for the sheep. In fact, they kill and destroy the sheep, Jesus says. They do them harm. And Jesus is speaking of the leaders of Israel, of the Pharisees here. In verse 8, he says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Now, surely Jesus is not speaking about the prophets who came before him. They were good and godly men who spoke the truth of God's word. But Jesus is speaking about those who were abusing the sheep when he came into the world. And they're still there. They are thieves and robbers. And these leaders and Pharisees have taken a position of authority over the people of God and have made extra laws and burdens for the people of God. They've usurped the place of God in their lives, stealing the sheep, claiming authority over them. And sadly, they have nothing but murder in their hearts for God's people. All they want to do is kill the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They want nothing more than to kill Jesus. They destroyed the life of the man born blind by excommunicating him from the people of God. And later, when the church begins to spread, they go out and they, on a murderous rampage, try to destroy the church. They come only to steal and kill and destroy. And while Jesus is speaking to his audience about the leaders and Pharisees, it's not hard to see the evil one working behind these men. The one who was the liar and the murderer from the beginning. The one who crept in to the garden, as it were, and stole a people for himself. Ever since Adam and Eve, there has been the seed of the serpent in this world, only to be enslaved and abused by the devil. You see, he does not prosper his own. He doesn't care for his own. He brings no fulfillment into their lives, but he only wants death and destruction and misery for his own. He's only come to steal and kill and destroy. I mean, just look at the world around you. Look at the lives of the people of this world that you know who are still in bondage to Satan. It's not hard to find misery in their lives and brokenness in their lives. Even those who seem to be prosperous will ultimately fall. It's as if Satan is fattening them up for the slaughter. He wants nothing more than to steal and kill and destroy their lives. And this isn't just physical death and misery he pursues, but it's eternal and spiritual death that he wants for their lives. The character and nature of the thief is the character and nature of the devil. Jesus then moves on to describe the hired hand in verses 12 through 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Well, Jesus has just compared the Pharisees to thieves. Now he compares them to hired men. These hired men, they care nothing about the sheep, but only their own gain, only their own well-being. They care nothing about the sheep. Now, not all hired men would care nothing about the sheep. There may be good-hearted, shepherd-hearted hired men out there, but not so with these men that Jesus describes. They're fully self-absorbed, self-interested. They devour widows' houses for their own gain. And whenever the sheep do not fulfill their own self-interest, they leave them. And would rather harm come to God's people than to come to themselves. And again, we see the self-interest of the evil one working in their hearts. Satan is concerned only for his own glory, his own gain, and is willing to achieve it at the expense of those over whom he holds sway. He's simply a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep that he takes care of, which he doesn't really take care of. No care or concern or love in his heart for those under his control. The character and nature of the hired hand is the character and nature of the devil. And Jesus' words and the people's own experience, and perhaps even your own experience, leave us longing for something different. Leave us longing for something better. Leave us longing for something more. And that is exactly what Jesus is here to give. Jesus shows the people, he shows you and me something different, something better, something more than what this world and what Satan has to offer. Jesus shows us himself, his own character and his own nature. Jesus highlights three things about himself that contrast sharply with the Pharisees, with these thieves, with these robbers, with these hired hands, and with the devil. And first, we see that Jesus is one who saves and protects and prospers his sheep. Look at verses 7, 9, and 10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus first compares himself to the door of the sheep pen, the place through which the sheep could enter and find rest, find protection, find safety from many that might harm them. When they come through the door, they are safe. They are saved from danger. They're protected from harm. And from that place of safety, they can live and they can grow. They can be led and they can be fed by the shepherd. And this is what Jesus is saying that he is. Jesus is a place of safety. Satan is prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The flames of hell are licking their lips to consume those who are apart from Christ and only condemned to die. And the law of God hangs over those who are outside of Christ with it hangs over them with judgment. And in Jesus Christ, you find protection. Jesus says, "Come to me. Find safety in me. Find protection in me. You will be saved. I am the door to guard you, to protect you, to keep you, to defend you, to keep destruction far apart from you. And through me, you will have a life more fulfilling and blessed than the world, the flesh, or the devil would ever have to offer you. I have abundant life to give you," Jesus says. "It's eternal life." See, Jesus saves, he protects, he prospers his sheep because he's the door of the sheep pen. Secondly, here you see that Jesus has an intimate relationship with the sheep. Verses 14 through 16. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus is no stranger. He's no thief. He's no hired hand, but a good shepherd who knows and loves his sheep. And his sheep know and love him in return. They're not afraid of him. They don't run from him. They don't disregard him, but they trust his word. They follow his word because they know that he leads and guides them for their good. And he's not just speaking about the people of Israel here. Jesus says there are other sheep who are not of this fold. Jesus is speaking of the Gentiles spread throughout the world. Jesus will go and he will call them each by name and they will respond and they will come to him. Because there's an intimate relationship between God and his people. And this relationship and love between Jesus and his sheep is just like the relationship between Jesus and his Father. It's an intimate one. It's a precious one. It's a loving one. Through the Son, God has granted to the believer a close, intimate relationship, a precious relationship. And the more and more a believer grows in Jesus Christ, the more knowledge and love and joy is experienced. And this intimacy of love and joy will continue to grow because Jesus is an infinite Savior. And the more you know of your infinite Savior, the more joy and love you will experience in this life. And that's something that will never end because we're finite creatures and Jesus is an infinite God. So we will never cease knowing and learning about him. And the more we know and learn, the more joy we will experience in this life and in eternity. And Jesus has an intimate relationship with his sheep. But finally, we see that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, sacrifices his life for the sheep. Verses 11, 15 and 17. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So far beyond the expectations of any earthly shepherd, Jesus willingly gives his life for his sheep. And it's not difficult to believe that a true shepherd would defend his flock from predators and from harm. It's not difficult to believe that he would risk his life fighting off wolves and bears and lions. But the aim of the shepherd is to not die. The shepherd doesn't want to die. The shepherd wants to live and yet defend his sheep because the shepherd knows if he dies, it won't be long before the predator takes the sheep as well. But not so with Jesus. The uniqueness and power of Jesus as the Good Shepherd far exceeds any other. No one takes his life from him. He does not lose his life in defeat. But he willingly and purposefully lays it down for the sheep. And in this, Jesus presents himself as a substitute for the sheep. His life in the place of theirs. His death instead of theirs. He lays down his life so that the sheep will live. And this was not just an allegory for Jesus. Because Jesus knew what was in his future. He knew what his future would be. He would not give his life fighting off wolves or bears or lions. But no, he would walk toward Calvary. He would be nailed to a Roman cross. He would fight and take upon himself the enemies of sin and of death. And he would experience the coldness of death and yet the fiery furnace of God's wrath in the place of his people. So that they would find forgiveness of their sins and everlasting life with God. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, sacrifices his life for the sheep. But he continues to preserve their lives because he took his life back up again. He was resurrected from the dead and reigns on high as your shepherd king. Jesus is your good shepherd. Jesus guards you and protects you. How different Jesus is. How much better Jesus is. How much more Jesus is. And the people listening to Jesus were confronted with this reality. The leaders and the Pharisees on the one hand, who under the sway of Satan have done nothing but abuse and burden and neglect the people of God. And then on the other hand, you have this beautiful, this precious, this glorious shepherd Savior offering to give his life for the salvation of his people. To pour himself out for his people, to give everything for the protection and safety and salvation of his people. What a difference. And we see the response of the people in verses 19 through 20. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The people were split in their opinion about Jesus. Some cold and dead of heart attribute madness and possession to him. He is a demon because he speaks this way. And this shouldn't surprise us. Servants of the evil one are doing nothing but perpetuating and propagating a lie to keep Satan in control of the sheep in his fold. They don't want Jesus to take sheep away. And yet others want to believe. They want to follow. They hear the voice of their shepherd calling. Only God could do things like this. Only God could open the eyes of the blind. Is this God who speaks to us now? They hear and see in Jesus someone who's not angling for his own self-interest. In fact, they hear someone describing how he will sacrifice himself for the ones that he serves. This is not a man seeking his own advantage, trying to deprive them of things like the current shepherds of Israel. But he's come to give them life. But friends, I'm not ultimately concerned about the response of the people in our text this morning to who Jesus is and what Jesus says. What I'm ultimately concerned about is your response to this Jesus. Who is this Jesus to you? How will you respond to him? And the call to you today is to follow and love this Jesus as your good shepherd. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't know this Jesus. You don't have a relationship with him. Do you see the one that is presented to you here this morning? You who are in bondage to sin and Satan, the one who that would seek nothing but to destroy you, to harm you, to not prosper you, but only prosper himself. The one who holds you in his grasp, the great thief and robber of your soul, who desires to destroy you. Flee to Jesus Christ. Follow after Jesus Christ. Find safety in Jesus Christ. He is a good shepherd. Baptized members, children, you who haven't professed Christ as Lord in front of the congregation yet, choose this day whom you will follow. The world and the devil who care nothing for you, who will only trick you and hurt you and leave you when they are finished with you or don't want you anymore. Or Jesus Christ, the one who will always love you, the one who loves you for who you are and not based upon what you will do. The one who will never leave you or never forsake you. The one who saves you from hell. The one who is willing to die to protect you. Follow him. And you who do know Jesus Christ this morning, who follow him, love him. Love him more. Sometimes our hearts can become lukewarm. I recognize that sometimes we can take Jesus for granted. But I want you to see who he is. Look at his character. Look at his nature as a shepherd and love him. Meditate on him. I want you to fall more in love with your shepherd. I want you to know him more. Pray that the Holy Spirit would use these things to cause your love to be inflamed for your shepherd's Savior. And you would follow him more. Because despite all who will fail you in this life, all who would hurt you, all who would disappoint you, Jesus Christ never will. He who is perfect in every way is perfect in his love for you. Jesus is more excellent than any other. Follow after and love Jesus, your good shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus into this world to be our shepherd, to take us from the thief and the robber, to claim your own for yourself. We thank you for calling us. We thank you that we heard your voice, O God. And we pray that you would continue that work today, that you would call out the voice of the shepherd speaking to his sheep. And you would call and draw those that are yours to yourself. And you would shepherd them and guide them for all eternity. Do good to your people, we pray. Guard and protect, lead and feed your people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.